The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm glad you could join us for this week's Netcast. We've got a very special message that we have recorded at Faith and Victory Church. I taught it on Wednesday night services, two Wednesday night services, that I ministered on this particular topic of having confidence in your faith. Having confidence in your faith. And I encourage you to listen to the message as we play it this week and probably for the next couple of weeks on the program. So I encourage you to check it out and be sure to catch all these episodes that we are talking about your confidence in faith. Praise the Lord. Some very important things we're going to be bringing out in this message. Now I want to encourage you to remember that we have the Word of Faith Radio Rally coming up in September, September the 15th of this year. We'll have the Word of Faith Radio Rally. And so mark your calendars now, September 15th. Our very special guest will be Jesse Duplantis. And boy, I am looking forward to that meeting. And of course, speakfaith.tv, I always talk about that because it is our premier broadcast of Word of Faith teaching for you so that you can be encouraged and be built up in faith. And that is available at sftv.io for the live feed, the live stream, or you can catch it on demand at speakfaith.tv. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go into this message on your confidence in faith. Open your Bibles. We'll just jump right in, all right? Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3, and we'll get started this evening. Pastor asked me to teach this Wednesday and next Wednesday, so we're going to probably have part one and part two in the next week or so. The reason being that I know we're a little pushed for time tonight because we got started so late, and as I said in the opening, that's kind of my fault. Because I was running so late, it took a while to get everything set up. But anyway, praise the Lord. Glad we're all here. Amen. And what we're going to look at is, if you had to title it, get an overall title for everything, we're going to talk about the confidence we have in faith. The confidence we have in faith. And that word confidence is the key to it. And so we're going to begin reading here to get some background and to get some context to what we're talking about. But then we're going to concentrate on the scripture here in 1 John 3. So let's pray, and then we'll get right into the scripture here. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and to minister the Word of God. And Father, I thank you that as we study the Word tonight, the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of the church, has free reign, free access to us, to our spirits, to our minds, to renew our minds to the Word of God. Father, we just thank you for that privilege that we have to be taught the Word by the Holy Spirit. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as a teacher, I rely on the anointing of the teacher. There are fivefold areas of ministry. And pastor, teacher, prophet, apostle, evangelist, all right? And the thing about it is, the teaching ministry, a lot of times people look at Bible teachers as like, oh, yeah, Sunday school teachers, or, you know, somebody that teaches in a regular school system would make a good Bible teacher. No, it really is an anointing. It's an area that is called an anointing of God. And a lot of people kind of look down on Bible teaching as, well, it's not as spectacular as the apostle. It's not as spectacular as the evangelist. But I really relish the teaching ministry. I enjoy getting into the Word of God. I dig in there, and like Jerry Savelle said, it's like getting nuggets of truth. You know, the deeper you dig, the more you get down to that gold, that vein of gold, where you can really get into some exciting stuff. And so that's what I want to do as we get into this tonight. 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now, as believers, we know that God is love, and we are to walk in love, and we are to be children of love, in effect, our children of God, children of love. So we are to walk in love, that, and we should love one another. Now, he goes on to say, I think this is really interesting, in verse 12, not as Cain. Now, he draws this comparison here. He says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, that would be the devil, and slew his brother. Well, that's a pretty extreme case of not loving, okay? Okay, that's for sure. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And, of course, we know from our study throughout the Word of God about Cain and Abel here, the reason that Cain did not receive the favor from God that he could have received is because when he tithed, he did not tithe in blood. This goes back to blood covenant, all the teaching concerning blood covenant. He did not go to his brother and take his crop of, you know, vegetables or whatever else he was growing and trade with him to get a lamb that he could use as a sacrifice. God was very explicit that the sacrifice was to be an animal, was to be a lamb. All right, and that carries down from a perspective of teaching the word, that carries down to Jesus being the lamb that was slain. All right, and the blood covenant is shown through that. Well, you can't slay a vegetable. Okay, maybe you can try, and maybe a tomato might bleed a little, but it's not blood. It's tomato juice. So when Cain approached God and tried to tithe of his crop of plants, that was not in line with what God wanted him to do. And because of that, God did not show favor to him, but to his brother who did it correctly. He had a lamb. He sacrificed as he was supposed to. He obeyed the scripture in how to sacrifice to God, and God was pleased with that. So here, John says, because his own works were evil, talking about Cain, and his brothers were righteous, or within right standing to God. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Now, it would seem almost that he's changing gears here, but he's not. The reason the world hates us as believers is because they are doing works of unrighteousness. We are operating in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not that we're doing good and so therefore they hate us, but because we represent good. We represent God. All right? Now, here I'm going to take a little side trail just for a second. If you are on Facebook at all, you see a lot of weird stuff, okay? And some of the things that I see, I don't see a lot of regular news. You know, I don't sit around and watch TV news all the time. Good thing, because most of the time what it says is completely off base. But at any rate, the only kind of news I get regularly tends to be from Facebook, and not because I'm looking for it, because it just scrolls by on my screen, you know. And I'll see things and I go, really? And I'll have to go then do a little research when I find something of interest. And one of the things that I've seen in my stream of late is how much Islam is coming to the forefront in our political system. There are Muslims who have gotten elected, they're in Congress, and so forth and so on. All right. Well, they are doing what they believe based on the Quran. The Quran is their scriptures. So they're doing their scriptures, okay? But if you go look at what their scriptures say, it says that you're to kill the infidel. It says you are to lie if necessary to put forth Islam into a political system, that you are to, whatever you do, you're supposed to set up Sharia law. And so you've got to get rid of the current legal system and substitute it with Sharia. And the crazy thing is, a lot of politicians, because they don't want to be labeled Islamophobic, they don't want to be seen as coming out against what they perceive, let me say this carefully, what they perceive to be a minority that has been, people have come against them because of their religious beliefs. And so they're trying to be big in themselves and say, well, we're going to to help the little guy here. We're going to help the Muslims because they've been so downtrodden through the years. And they come across with this idea that, well, you know, we're supposed to accommodate them. We're supposed to. You may notice there are schools that are letting kids bow to the east in Islamic prayer, but they would never let them pray a Christian prayer in school. That's crazy. But again, the political system is doing it in order to say to themselves, we're tolerant. But you notice the tolerance only goes so far as the system that is in place because of the devil. If you check out what Islamic teaching says, their God is not our God. All right? Their God is some weird demonic moon god. All right? It has nothing to do with our God. And so when they say Allah, they're not talking about Jehovah. They're not talking about I am that I am. Whole different person behind it, okay? And Allah, if you really want to name who he is the devil. All right? Now, a lot of people say, oh, how dare you say that? You must be Islamophobic. No, Islamophobic means I'm afraid of Islam. Right? You take Islam, you take phobia, which is fear. Fear of Islam. I'm not afraid of Islam. I despise Islam. But I'm not afraid of it. Now people say, oh, but you shouldn't despise them. I don't despise the people. I despise the doctrine.
Yes.
See, the teaching. Because it is taking those people that I love to hell.
Right.
Okay? I mean, for me to operate in love doesn't mean that I forgive them and excuse them and say, yeah, you go ahead and practice your Islamic teaching. No, I need to teach them the truth.
Amen.
I need to stand up and preach the gospel.
Yes.
The good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because their teaching, their doctrine will take them to hell.
Right.
And if it's like, you know, the old story of the guy who's, you know, there's a guy out there and he's waving people down trying to get them to stop. And people are just whizzing by him. Please, please stop. Well, there's a bridge out down the road. People that are ignoring him don't know it. But he's doing the best he can to try to get them from going off that bridge into the, you know, five stories deep river below him. So he is operating in love. Now, a lot of people by today's standards would say, well, to truly operate in love, you should stand there and say, you go on by, it's your choice. You know, that's not love. That's crazy. That's nuts. So if I see something like this evil demonic teaching, I'm going to stand up and say, sorry, no. Now, do you legally have every right to believe it in the United States of America? Absolutely. And I will stand up for your right to believe it. But you give me a chance, I'm going to tell you that it's of the devil. And that doesn't mean I don't love them. That doesn't mean that I'm Islamophobic. It simply means that I'm trying to be the guy waving them down before they go off the bridge. All right? So, why say all that? Because the world, in this case, those that are preaching and teaching Islamic doctrine, who are in Congress and all these things, have positions of power, the world is doing things that are not righteous, that are not in right standing with God. Islamic teaching is not in right standing with God. Okay? So, it is no wonder that they hate us. Now, literally, as I said, in their scriptures, their Quran, it says they're to kill us. If we won't convert, then, by George, we're going to take your head. That's not extremism. That's what they teach. That's what you literally read in the book. So, I'm sorry, but it's no wonder they hate us. They're teaching false doctrine. So, don't be amazed and don't be, so concerned that, oh my goodness, how could they hate us so much? Because they're motivated of demonic forces. And now, what we have to do is we have to have confidence in the Scripture. Because this is where this confidence in faith that I'm talking about comes in. We need to have confidence in God. We need to have confidence in His Word. We need to have such confidence that we can stand up before the world and say, no, That teaching is wrong. No, that will take you to hell. And when they say, you're not operating in love, you can say with confidence, yes, I am. Because if you continue down the road you're going, you're going to die, you're going to go to hell. That's just the way it is. Now, you can beat me up over that, you know, maybe physically, but I'll still be saying, sorry, the Scripture says. I'm going to have confidence in the Scripture. I'm going to have confidence in God. I'm going to have confidence in what I have learned. Now, that even follows when it comes to our fight to receive our healing, for instance. You have to have confidence in His Word that by His stripes we were healed. If we were, then we are. Jesus bore my sicknesses. He carried my diseases. If He bore them, I don't have to bear them. Matter of fact, for me to bear them means it would be a miscarriage of justice because He's already borne them for me. Now, I have to have confidence in that. When I was in the hospital and I was laying there in bed and couldn't lift my hands, couldn't lift my feet, couldn't move, could only say yes or no with my thumb, and I'm laying there, the doctor comes in and says, you got a week to live. I had a choice. My choice was, well, I can lay back and take it easy and go to heaven. And it wouldn't take long. You know, I mean, it's only a week. All I had to do was lay there one more week. I was out of there. Or I could have confidence in what I have been taught. I can have confidence in the Word of God. I can have confidence in the Word of faith. I've had 35 plus years of teaching of the Word of faith. And that teaching rose up inside me and gave me confidence to boldly say to that doctor, I'm sorry, I won't be dead in a week. Send me home, I'll live and not die. And he just shook his head. Poor boy. Matter of fact, they tried to give me, they came in one day, this doctor comes in, you got to watch these guys, okay? Got to watch them because, you know, if you're laying there in the hospital and you can't really do much anyway, and they come in and say, here, take this, your natural response is to say, sure, okay, I'll take, you're the doctor, you know what you're doing. Well, he came in with a pill one day, says, here, take this. I said, what is it? He said, it's, and he, you know, gave his medical gibberish or what it was. And I said, what does it do? He said, well, it's an antidepressant. I said, an antidepressant? Why are you giving me an antidepressant? Well, you only have a week to live. Like that made sense. You know? Well, of course, we got to give you an antidepressant. You've only got a week to live. No, I'm not depressed. Mr. Bailey, you do understand you only have a week to live. You ain't leaving here except in a box. I mean, he's straight with me. I said, that still doesn't mean I'm depressed. Why would you think I'm depressed? He looked at me kind of funny. I said, and see, this is the thing. Now, I didn't say this in words, but this was coming out of my heart. I have confidence in the Word of God. Either way, I was winning. Okay, if I'd have gone home to be with the Lord, which is far better, Paul told us that, he's far better, then I win. But that was not my plan. Death is the last enemy to be conquered. You won't see me laying down and accepting death. And that's what hospice teaching is all about. Just accept death. It's a natural part of life. Just lay on down and go home. You know, you've made your peace with God. Pat your little hand. You've made your peace with God. Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean I'm in a hurry. Amen. You know, I got things to do. I teach the Word of God. I'm on radio and TV. I got things to say. I got things to do. Yes. And I have confidence in what I've been taught. Mm-hmm. So I said, look, just send me home. I know you won't be. I mean, they told me we got to send you home because we need the bed. We need to bid for somebody we can help. We can't help you. Now, I'll give the guy credit. He was honest. He told me the truth. But I said, okay, tell you what, just send me home. It'll be fine. Well, we're putting you under hospice care. Don't do that. Don't send anybody by to pat my hand. Don't give me any drugs to put me out where I don't know who I am or where I am. Because, see, I'd seen this with my mom. Now, you know, she was fighting a lot of stuff, and she got to the point that she couldn't physically eat, And you know, if you can't physically eat, you're not long for this earth. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just the way it is. But she couldn't eat because her throat had closed up and her body was just shutting down. And they had her under hospice care. Well, they kept giving her drugs. She didn't know where she was, when she was. Now, you know, she was also had Alzheimer's, so there was crazy things going on in her life. She saw cows going through her room, and she'd ask me, "Did you see that cow?" And I'd go, "No." "Well, you got to stop it. It'll be in the kitchen here in a minute." And she said, "Oh, and by the way, did you get that little boy out of the stove?" I said, "No, I didn't." "Well, you need to go get him out of the stove." And I mean, this is all stuff to her was very real.
Yeah.
And, you know, finally it got to the point. This was funny and sad at the same time to me, is that Ben, who is now 26, at that time I guess he was probably 22 or so, Ben, she saw him as me. She called him Bill. And so she would, when I wasn't around, she would call Belinda over and say, "Belinda, come here. Who's that old man that lives here?" She said, "What old man?" "That old man with a beard that lives here." She said, "That's Bill." "No, I saw Bill earlier today. He doesn't have a beard." Which at the time, Ben didn't have a beard. And so Belinda would say, "Well, that's Ben. You remember Ben, your grandson?" "Really?" "Really?" And so during her last days, she didn't know who I was. You know, I was that old man that lived there. But the crazy thing was, they weren't helping her mental clarity because they were giving her all these drugs that were putting her out. So I knew in advance, no, don't take the drugs, because I need my mind clear to confess the word, to speak the word, to operate on the word, again, to have confidence in the word. If I'm a space cadet, I can't be standing in faith.
That's right.
Amen? So, you know, I'm sitting there going, "Whoa, look, flowers." I mean, you know, I need to be in the Word. I need to be serious. I need to get down with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. So when the world, like those doctors, when they looked at me like, "You a little squirrely," you know, "I don't know what to make of you." Well, the thing is, I'm here.
Yeah.
And I'm strong. That's been 2 years ago. And the doctors, to this day, don't know what's going on with me. I went in to see my doctor, and she said, "You know, based on everything I saw from the hospital, your liver should be shutting down. I mean, it's in bad shape. The numbers are never going to be right." They said it was terminal. You know, well, I was believing. My confession was, this is a real rabbit trail here, but that's okay. My confession was, every cell and every organ in my body functions perfectly as God designed it to function. Well, that included my liver. So I went out, this has been a year ago, I went out to the ICFM convention in Fort Worth, Texas at Eagle Mountain International Church. And I'm out there, and I'm sitting out in the auditorium, and Brother Copeland's up there preaching. Prophet of God's up there preaching. He stopped right in the middle of what he was teaching and said, "Somebody here just got healed. Their liver has been healed." Well, I jumped up out of my chair. I took my hand and I grabbed the air. I said, "I'm taking it. That's me." Now, there's a lot of people around me kind of looked at me like, "You're taking it?" Well, Gloria Copeland said that's what the word means there where it says receive. It means to take. So what did I do? In confidence, this is what we're talking about, in confidence, I took it. And I took it and I said, "That's mine." So then after the service, now did I feel anything? No. Did I glow? No. Did I feel any warm syrupy honey? No. Nothing. But after the service, I went back to the reception they had for the ministers there. And I was one of the members, one of the ministers. I went into the little room that they had, and they had all these chairs and tables set up. And the tables were round, and everybody was sitting around all the tables. And I went from table to table. I didn't even know these people. You know, most of them didn't know them. And I would go to a table. I'd say, "I got my healing tonight. My liver is healed." They would go, "Well, praise the Lord, brother. Whoever you are, you know." And I'd go to the next table. "I received my healing tonight. I took it. It's mine." "Well, that's good, brother." So then I got to the table where Dr. Doug Wingate was. Of course, I know Doug. I know him very well. And I walked over, I said, Brother Wingate, I received my healing tonight. My liver is healed. I took it. It's mine. He said, glory to God, Brother Bill. I agree with you. And he got as excited as I was. And I went around, I told Dr. Larry Allison, president of ICFM, and came up and says, Dr. Allison, I'm healed. I received my healing. It's mine. I took it. He said, amen, Brother Bill. I believe it, you know. And so I didn't even think any more about it. Went home. Months went by. Months and months went by. I go to my doctor. Doctor says, I want you to get the blood test. So I go get a blood test. I had like four different tubes they filled up with blood. I said, you guys trying to drain me? What's going on here? Well, she ordered all this stuff. Okay. So I go to my doctor. My doctor sends me this note electronically. You know, they've got all these cool systems where you can check on the web now. And I go on and she sends me a message. Says, Mr. Bailey, I need to talk to you about your numbers. I went, okay, hallelujah, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, glory to God. Because, you know, she says something like that, you kind of go, talk to you about your numbers. And they'd already told me in the hospital my numbers were going to be wrong from then on, you know. So I said, cool, I'm cool. Every cell, every organ in my body functions perfectly, just as God designed it to function. That's where I have my confidence. So I go in, and she says, pull up a chair. I pull up a chair, and she's a character. She is really a character. If you ever get to go see Dr. Dorr for whatever reason, you will see very quickly that she's a little bit nutty. But anyway, she pulled me in. She said, scoot up here behind me in front of her computer. And I was like, okay. So I scooted my chair over, and she said, look at these numbers. I looked at them. I said, okay. They could have been A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4. They're just numbers to me, you know. Okay, what am I looking at? She said, these numbers are perfect. Every single one is perfect. I don't understand it. In the hospital, they said these numbers would never be right. They were all over the place. Your liver is perfectly healed. She used the term healed. She said, well. She said, your liver is perfectly well. And I went, well, glory to God. And she said, okay. Whatever. And then she went on with the rest of the appointment and everything. But I couldn't help but think about it. I reached out and took my healing. Now, you know, the crazy thing about my liver, while I was in the hospital, my liver, since it wasn't working the way it was supposed to, my abdomen was filling up with fluid. And it would fill up and fill up and fill up. It looked like I was pregnant, you know, with this big bunch of fluid. All right, well, praise the Lord. I trust you enjoyed that. That's just the first part of this message. We'll be continuing it next week as well, so tune in for that. You can write me here at our regular mailing address of Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213-5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262, and then you can also write me at my email address, and that email address is Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L. That's one word, D-R, no dot, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WOFM.org. That's Word of Faith Ministries. That's our ministry here. Boy, I sure am glad you joined us for this program. Join us next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.
The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.